eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders!
Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your Gamecocks. And they were loud and proud throughout the weekend for Big Gamecock Weekend. You saw Signorama's work everywhere. Signorama.com, it's locally owned and operated by Matt Vaughn, who's a huge, huge Gamecock fan himself. He's a fan of our program, too. We're always glad to have him as a partner. Signorama, West Columbia, Signorama.com. Built by the Barndo Co., the BarnDominiumCo.com. You can build a dream home, and they are a dream. I've got a friend who's actually going to be using them to build a clubhouse. Yep. You can do anything with the Barndo Co., the BarnDominiumCo.com. And then, of course, always served by Chicken Cock Bourbon. Chicken Cock Bourbon can be found on the Chief Sports app. If you just type in your address in the Chicken Cock, click the button, type in your address, and it'll show you who's carrying it locally near you. JC is traveling today back to Chicago, so he will join us tomorrow, but we have a full boat. Hale McGranahan will be here shortly to give us a full recruiting rundown from the weekend and moving forward for Gamecock football. Also, his thoughts on the spring game this weekend between the Gamecocks and, you know, the Gamecocks. Mike Morgan will join us today as well, and we'll be joined at noon by Brad Crawford from 24/7 Sports as we take a deep dive into Carolina football and the rest of the SEC. It's all pretty much getting wrapped up now, and so we're looking forward to kind of having those conversations. Gamecocks dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend, of course, to the Arkansas Razorbacks. They are off this week, back on the field on Friday when Kentucky comes to town. We'll get into some Carolina baseball, too, and Hoops recruiting is heating up. So it's Mad Dog and myself here until 2 o'clock, and we're glad to be here. Sorry we were off yesterday. I was busy winning the Big Spur Golf Tournament, although they decided that Pat and Nick Godwin and Aaron Beasley and myself would be third, even though we tied for first without using the string. We didn't use one of the tools that they gave us throughout the whole day. And we shot a 51 and finished tied. And whatever tiebreaker Whittle came up with gave us a third place finish, Phil. Needless to say, I'll guarantee you, whoever we tied with used mulligans and used string. We used two mulligans. That's it. And we probably didn't even really need to.
Right. I'm sure.
I was not happy. But
well, were the winners in any way, shape, or form affiliated with the Big Spur or the show?
Yeah. Whoever that is, congratulations. You stole a trophy from me. And when we play you next year, I took a screenshot of the names, and we'll find you. We're going to hunt you down. We will find you.
Give that trophy back to its rightful owners. I love it.
We will
find you. Yeah. We had some technical issues and then some not-so-technical issues right at the start there yesterday. So, yeah, had to punt on the show. But apologies to everybody. But we're happy to be in today talking with everybody about it's a mixed bag this weekend.
So, all right, real quick here to the Nana Sports chat box. Brady Jones, all right, you were playing with the other group. And Brady, I knew who you were, and I think we shook hands. This young man is coming to play baseball at South Carolina, Brady Jones.
No.
And to be quite honest with you, Brady, and I was talking, DeMarco and I were talking about this on the course, all right? We think your future might be in golf. Because this cat bangs it off the tee. He bangs it off the tee. So, Brady, first of all, welcome to Carolina baseball. And glad that we got to see you yesterday. And if you, if you hit the baseball as far as you hit the golf ball, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people driving down Blossom Street when you're playing at Founders Park. Because this cat bangs it. Yeah.
Some insurance claims coming their way.
Yeah. So anybody who's in the Nana Sports chat box here, give a warm welcome to Brady Jones. Thanks for playing in the tournament. Really appreciate you being there. And everybody who is a fan of Carolina baseball, I got a feeling is going to be a big fan of yours as well. Congratulations on all your achievements, young man. And certainly look forward to watching you put the uniform on in the future for Coach Kingston's club. He's a good kid. Now, awesome. As far as he hits it, he didn't win the longest drive. That went to one Pat DeMarco, who drove the green like three or four times. It's ridiculous. That's what I was saying. I was like, wait a second.
Brought we in shot a ringer 50. And still couldn't win. What? I mean, you know. What?
We shot a 51 with this cat. We literally drove the green like four times. Just went up, tapped it in. And we got third? John called me yesterday after I left to ask me a question. And I was like, dude, don't tell me that thing wasn't rigged, man. I mean, you can't sit here. That's not fair. I mean, we played well. But it was a great tournament. All who came out and played, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. It was a little chilly to start. Weather ended up working out well. Thanks to Chris and Nana's Porch for providing an outstanding meal. And Mr. Bill, I didn't even get over to talk to those guys before I left. I got a phone call. I had to get home all the way back to Charleston to pick up my kids from school. So I had to get out of there kind of abruptly, and I felt bad about that. But all those who played, really appreciate it. Vista Art for providing so much neat stuff. Both organizations that were supported. Jay Urich was there. What an outstanding dude. Got to talk to Jay for a while. Great guy. Great representative of the University of South Carolina. It was a lot of fun. So thanks to everybody for being there. Most importantly, thanks to John Whittle for everything he did in putting this together. And the helping hands of intern Evan Stone. and his girlfriend and all their buddies for providing a bunch of very much needed assistance to get everybody checked in and around the course. A lot of Carolina baseball players were out there yesterday, and it was good to see a lot of those guys. And they're getting a couple of days of rest before they get back on the field. So, Greg, yep, your cousin played with me. He still plays, although yesterday he was probably an off day, so it didn't look like he plays a whole lot. But he still got it, and I'm glad we had a good time. So glad to see everybody. Sorry again, we were off yesterday. Had to get some pre-approval from Fort Jackson to be able to broadcast live from there, and that didn't happen. And we had to move on without the programming, but certainly today we'll have you covered on everything. And Phil, we'll start with the spring game. Yeah, by the way, Brady is a pitcher only, but based on the way he hits a golf ball, he should probably hit too. But I'll just leave that.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll start with the spring game. Yeah, so you know, I don't take too much from spring games ever, never have, never will. Saw some good things. It was really more about kind of seeing the players in the development. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on our program that I didn't agree at all with the report about the offensive line being out of shape. I thought it was a pretty poor report. And turns out my sources were a little bit better on that. And they look fine. You know, when you put the best five together, what will that look like collectively from a production standpoint? That's still TBD. No doubt, Josiah Thompson, Phil, he's the real deal, and kind of had a chance to see him at field level. This kid is going to be something at South Carolina. It's really more of a matter of time before, you know, he develops himself into what I think is going to be the best offensive lineman South Carolina has seen around here in a long, long time. He's really, really good. And then on the flip side of that, when Dylan Stewart walked on the field, and I was talking to Alex Jones about this. When Dylan Stewart walked on the field, it was – you got to be careful how you say things like this so you don't get this kid in trouble. And I mean in trouble from an expectation standpoint. But it was very, very, very reminiscent of the first time that I saw Jadeveon Clowney. He just looked different. And it all felt different. And then when you watched him play, it's very evident that this kid has every single tool that it takes to be elite. And that defense collectively, I think the thing that I took away from the defense this year in this spring game, and again, watching it up close and then going back and watching it again on TV, is they have a chance to be pretty good. And I'm not really scared to say that. Like, there are going to be detractors, of course, Phil. They're going to be, I'll believe when I see it. Yeah, right. Me too. I agree with that.
Same.
but I'm just saying, I've watched every spring game that this team has played for probably 20 years. And that defense there is the best they've looked at this point in time in preparation of the football season around here in probably 12 or 13 years. Collectively, yeah. Talented, physical, smart, know what they're doing. They play with energy. Up front, there's between, you know, end to end, including the tackles, there's 12 guys that should play. The linebackers are incredibly improved. Bam Martin Scott should have an outstanding year. The secondary is very good. And I would say that the first eight quarters of the season are going to depend on them. If Carolina wants to get out of Lexington, Kentucky at 2-0, they're going to have to probably win with defense because I think the offense has a little bit of a ways to go. Now, that's not to say that there's not some guys on offense who look good, But as a unit, it's not close right now. The defense is the star of the show for Carolina football.
Yeah, I think, and that really was the impression I took away from the spring game, just kind of, you know, seeing both sides. I agree. The defense looks the part, and you could see those flashes of the linebacker group. To kind of single them out just because they've been, you know, kind of the one talked about the most, I think, kind of heading into this, looks bigger, more athletic, faster. I mean, those guys are all over the place, mm-hmm. flying around the ball. So that makes you feel good. I think, you know, I agree with everything you said about Dylan Stewart. You don't want to overblow expectations because he is still a freshman. But I mean, if you were to draw up what a freshman edge player looks like, you'd be hard pressed to not draw up something like that. I find it a bit relieving, JB, that at this point in the season, defense clearly is ahead of the curve, because the success that Carolina has been able to enjoy in football has not been without a solid defense. I mean, mm-hmm. you just can't do it. You're not this, you know, you don't have what it takes. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's just not the way the offense is constructed to go out there and win shootouts. So you're going to need to get stops, and you're going to have to, you know, flip fields. And it looks like they are on the track to be able to perform that way. And it's refreshing. It really is. I mean, because that's my favorite thing to watch on a football field is defense. I love it. And
I'm with you.
And yeah, it's been a few years lacking. You know, there have been stars, there have been, you know, guys who have gone on to the next level. But as a whole, as a unit, I'm excited about the prospects for this defense. I think this is going, they're going to take a major step forward this year.
I think you're right. I agree with that. If I had to make one big bold statement / prediction, I think that South Carolina's defense this year is going to be pretty salty.
Yeah.
It's 11-19. I know we've got Hale McGranahan teed up, so let's step aside and we'll bring him into this conversation. And he, of course, can update us on South Carolina's recruiting efforts, as they did land a couple of big-time prospects this weekend. And they're expecting more. Recruiting is heating up right now for Gamecock football. We're heating up, too. We're starting our work week today. Palm Casual keeps me comfortable on the back porch. Man, oh, man. Aaron played in our group yesterday. Maybe some of you got to meet him. He runs one of the best businesses in South Carolina, 4 locations between Bluffton and Myrtle Beach, a couple here in the Lowcountry, but they sell to everybody out there. PalmCasual.com, 30-day guarantee that nobody else can match. Promise you, they'll write you a check. If you party on it for 29 days and you just don't like it, on that 30th day, they will write you a check. Put it in your hands. Bam, there you go. And you can move on about your business. But do business with them, palmcasual.com. Hale McGranahan up next here on ITG.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning. It'll melt in your mouth. It's good on a cracker. It's good in a bowl. It's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasporch.com. It's good. Coach O, signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks!
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
It is 11:23 here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show, and we are now joined by Hale McGranahan from thebigspur.com. So how'd you end up finishing yesterday? I talked to you after the round.
Yeah, we had a really slow start. We only shot 2 under as a group, which is probably slightly embarrassing for a captain's choice, but I'm not the best golfer in the world. I'm not terrible. Not as terrible as I used to be. I lost more golf balls on the first like 7 holes than I have in an entire round playing by myself in several years. So it was a slow start out there at Fort Jackson on the old Hickory course. That back nine, if you have a little bit of a slice from a right-handed swing, that back nine is tough to navigate. So yeah. Once we got warmed up and going, we had a good little vibe amongst my group, but we certainly didn't have a heavy hitter like you did in your group, JB.
I know. It really wasn't fair, to be honest. But that's why, you know, it takes some some genius to put together a team like that. And we did it. But to be fair here, though, the beginning of the round was very unseasonably cold yesterday. And the breeze didn't help. And it threw everything off. So.
Yeah, I shout my score, and we got a golf hardo in the comments, Craig, who really thinks it's funny. My group's 2 under. Like I said, I mean, I've never said I'm good at golf ever a day in my life, and probably never will. My group that I had put together, we lost our best player because he couldn't get off of work and come carry us, and so we struggled off the tee there for a little while, but we had a good time. We had a few beverages, ate some great barbecue and pimento cheese and fixins, and onward and upward we go.
Yeah, that's right, man. My man Chris Payne from Nana's Porch gave me a couple of tubs of pimento cheese, and Nick Godwin, who was playing with me, said, how long is it going to take you to eat that? I said, well, it's going to take me about an hour and 45 minutes to get home.
So, yeah, I got a couple myself, and I've put a sizable dent in one of them. I've been all over it.
It's the best pimento cheese ever. He was telling me yesterday about some big – they've got some big business stuff going on the horizon, like Billy G's, you know, all their sauces showing up in Food Lion here in July. So these guys are on the up and up, and we're so glad to be not only partners with them but friends with them. They're just tremendous people. So thanks to everybody that did everything they did for that tournament yesterday. It was a great tournament, a lot of great people, met some great fans. Certainly appreciate it. Hey, let's get to the spring game. We'll get to recruiting last, but let's get to the spring game. Generally, I could care less about results in a spring game. I don't look at all that stats and whatever. I look collectively at, you know, how one side of the ball plays and guys that we haven't really had a chance to see and stuff like that. So we'll start with the defense. I don't honestly think it's an overreaction on my part to feel like this defense actually has a chance to be pretty darn good this year. When you look at the last few years and some of the holes that they've had, the lack of depth that they've been able to provide themselves, and then you kind of look at where they are now, what they've done in the transfer portal to fill some of those gaps, the speed in which they play. Yeah, there are some young guys, but they're really, really talented. So collectively, I actually thought this group, regardless again of the score and of the I'm not big in all that on the spring game day. I just how they play, how do they move to the football, what type of speed do they play with, do they communicate, all those type things. It honestly looked pretty good.
Yeah, they've got some really good players over there. More good players than they had last year, especially up front. And mm-hmm. I heard you guys talking right before the break, and Dylan Stewart was awesome. He made some plays coming off the left edge, beating a right tackle. He chased down a bubble screen out in space. I know there are a lot of folks who have some issues with Sidney Fugar and what we saw from him at times last season, but you know that guy's like a fourth year college player, and he got just carried, basically bull rushed right into the backfield, like right into Dante Reno's face. I mean, Dylan Stewart was awesome. Every bit the five-star looking guy that he was rated out of high school. I mean, there's the one drive. I think it was, I can't remember which team Tonka Hemingway was on. I think he was on the Garnet team, but it was like the second possession of the game for the black team, the offensive possession. And Tonka just took over the entire drive. I mean, he drew a flag, a holding penalty, a tree. I think got a tackle for loss, made another play. I mean, he flashed. And the linebackers, I mean, it seemed like each one of those guys, the veteran guys, all flashed and made a play, whether it was Demetrius Knight or Kamara or whoever. Like, there's a good group of guys in that front seven. And I think we saw – glimpses of that, and obviously they're split in half for the most part. So I think it's going to be really fun to see once this is a collective group and we get to see them all playing as one and not cut in half. I think it's going to be a quality unit. The key will, of course, be what's on the back end and the secondary, specifically at cornerback, because clearly that was an issue last year with deep plays and maybe getting beat out of the slot. But I think at the very least when you're going to be a little bit better in the pass rush department, that's probably going to help some things as well on the back end. So I'm excited about the defense. I'm not going to try to get too far ahead of myself and say, you know, whatever, Hey, this group is the best since, you know, 2017 when they had a really good defense. I don't know. But I do know that it's going to be better than what it's been in these last couple of years. And I think they're going to have a chance to at times carry this team if they need to, because clearly there's some weaknesses over on the offensive side of the ball that need to get ironed out. But if you got a good defense, that can help make things a little more manageable to navigate.
Yeah, I think the defense certainly is going to have to carry them through Lexington if they want to open the season 2-0. A couple of thoughts. I'm just interested to see. I want to name some specific guys. that I had jotted some notes down at the ball game on Saturday night. I thought Tonka Hemingway kind of looked like the most developed, the most complete defensive lineman, Hale. I thought DeAndre Jules has a chance to be really, really good. And Monkel Goodwin, I watching him play the other night, it's very evident why he was a top 100 player and went to Alabama out of high school. Kid's very, very talented. If he continues to develop under Travion Robertson, I'm not envisioning any scenario where this kid isn't not only playing, but playing a pretty healthy amount. What do you think about that trio?
I mean, then TJ, you didn't even name TJ Sanders. He rolled his ankle and played like one snap.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, to your point, JB, that's one of the benefits of having this transfer portal. Like, it giveth and taketh, that whole deal. But Jules adds a body type that they don't really have. And Goodwin, as you said, I mean, you got Alabama, and granted, he didn't play a whole lot there, but he was behind some of the best defensive linemen in the country throughout his time there. I think he's probably at the very least going to be a rotation guy and contribute a handful of snaps a game. Probably going to be tough to sit here and call him a starter, because you got Tonka, who is, I think, the best defensive lineman on the team.
I agree.
You still got Boogie Huntley, who's been around forever and is one of your most dependable players, and TJ Sanders. And I mean, then you get into the whole, well, if they're doing 3-3-5 stuff, then you're not going to have two interior defensive linemen out there necessarily. So, I mean, just they have all sorts of options and different things that they're going to be able to do and keep these guys fresh. That's probably the biggest thing for me is when I look at the difference in what this team can be, just kind of zoomed out, I guess, is you're not going to run into situations like the fourth quarter of the Florida game last season when your defense is so just worn out and getting beat. You're going to be able to have fresh bodies in late when it means the most in some instances. So it's again, it's an exciting group to think about what they could be. I'm not gonna sit here and say this is a championship level defense, quote unquote, but I think it's gonna be really good.
You gotta earn big titles like that, Hale. I'm with you. You know, I don't just toss stuff around like that. I think from a talent standpoint, it's the most talented group I've seen collectively in a while, and the deepest, as long as they stay healthy. Shout out to Gilbert Edmond too. He really looked, his body looks good, number one, but he looked very, very excited to, quote, be home. I thought his motor was exceptional. Vakari Swain, another one who stood out. I know the interception is getting all the publicity, and that's fine. That's a very, very athletic play. But aside from that, watching him move, watching him, his hips, watching him cover, watching his eyes, all the things that you like to see, there's a reason why his name comes up time and time again when you ask the staff about the secondary, and he showed it on Saturday.
Yeah, he's really good. He looks like a completely different player than the one I saw. I guess it was probably like the spring of his junior year, so it's been a little bit of time, and obviously guys are going to show some signs of development during that type of a window, but he looks the part, man, and we saw that flash with that pick kind of going up and making a one-handed grab, and I'm excited to see what he can do as a punt returner, because I think that's going to be part of his role within this team, in addition to probably playing a ton of snaps at cornerback. So I'm excited to see what he can add. You know, I was around this time a year ago, into the summer, I was looking at him as one of those freshmen who could play a lot. But clearly he wasn't ready. He only played in two games, but I think they're ready to throw him to the wolves, so to speak, and start getting ready to count on him, and they're going to need it.
Yeah, he's going to play. There's no question about that. An announced crowd of about 32,500. I predicted to be between 30 and 35, and that's pretty much what it seemed like in the ballpark as well. On the offensive side of the football, Hale, I'm pretty sure over the years you figured me out by now. I'm not big into big, bold statements. Certainly don't like tearing kids down and saying things that I can't prove to be true or anything like that. But this was just an observation. I sure hope that I'm corrected and Shane Beamer picks up the phone and calls and says, you're way off. And I would gladly accept that. I think that the gap between Lenora Sellers and the rest of them is a whole lot larger than you want it to be right now. Almost probably as large as to think that it might not be the worst thing in the world to always keep Luke Doty standing around to play quarterback. What were your thoughts on the entire group?
Yeah, Lenore looked good with the short to intermediate throws and getting out of the pocket. He was quick and getting downhill in a hurry. Obviously, nobody was tackling him, so he couldn't run through anybody at 240 pounds. He's certainly capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wonders if on some of those plays, the scrambles that were – maybe they were trying to get something deep downfield. I have not gone back and rewatched the game, so I can't speak to that.
Possibly. Yep. Very true.
So, yeah, a little bit to be determined in my eyes with where Lenoris is at right now, because we just didn't see a whole lot from a passing standpoint. And to be expected, right? They're
absolutely
in a spring game, and they don't want to show opponents too much. Then for Ashford, he only had one throw and only played in the first half. So, it's hard for me to make any definitive statements or opinions about the gap between those two guys. But Sellers entered spring practice as a starter, and everyone around the program seems to be pleased with how he progressed throughout those 15 practices. And obviously when you're named the offensive MVP, that's probably an indication that you're in really good standing as far as what the coaches think. So I'm under the assumption that he is still clearly the best guy for the job, and whether that is announced by Shane Beamer today, tomorrow, next week, or some point in the middle of August, I'm still operating under the belief that this job is his and will be his until further notice.
I would agree with that. I don't think it's remotely close, but I understand why they'll wait and hold off on officially announcing a starting quarterback. You want to encourage competition, certainly, and not maybe another transfer, because apparently you just transfer whenever you want to now, according to the NCAA. As far as the guys they were throwing to, Hale, I didn't get much out of that group. No disrespect at all intended to the wide receivers. I don't mean it that way. I would say probably physically the most impressive or the most talented, let's put it that way. Let's just use talent. From a talent standpoint, the guy that stood out the most is Mazio Bennett, in my eyes. Again, no disrespect to anybody else, but also thought that you could see some development out of Tyshawn Russell. So this is going to be a very important summer. I even with all the transfers they brought in, and we'll get to recruiting in a minute. I know you've said before, and JC has said they're going to target a wide receiver in the transfer portal here in the spring period. But with all that said, I find it hard to believe that this summer is going to be more important for anybody more than Mazio Bennett and Tyshawn Russell. I think both of them have a very, very high percentage chance to be major contributors this fall.
I would say Nick Harbor is probably just a touch ahead of them as far as who needs to come along more during the summer, since he obviously didn't go through spring practice and still has some growing to do as a player, not physically, but as a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they need to address that room. Like you just pointed out, something we've been talking about for a while now. They need to try their best to address that room, that position, right now during this portal window. And whether it's a guy who's 6'1" or a guy who's 6'5", they need some more height, arm length, size, whatever you want to call it. They need some bigger bodies in that room, because Mazio Bennett and Tyshawn Russell was as good as they could be. They're, you know, 5'10", 5'11", not the biggest guys in the world. And
yeah,
Gage Larvidane, same thing. Jared Brown, same thing. And a handful of other guys in that group right now, same thing. And you do have some size with the Josh Simon and a Brady Hunt and a Michael Smith at tight end, but you need it at receiver too. I always am of the belief that you need a little bit of everything from physical, size, height, weight, all that stuff to skill set. I like to see kind of a little bit of everything in a receiver room. And right now, for whatever reason, it's not a diverse as just me personally, as I think receiver room should be. And that's something that, again, they're trying to address right now as we speak. And we'll see how it shakes out here in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I collectively as a group, they've got a ways to go. In my opinion, not that they can't get there, but they've just got a ways to go when you compare them to some other position groups. We'll move up front now to the offensive line. See, this was the trickiest, you know, piece of the puzzle to judge. I thought, Hale, you know, individually looking at guys, it's clear Josiah Thompson is the best looking offensive lineman they've got. There's no doubt about that. He can easily put on another 30 plus pounds, especially up here, and you probably won't even notice it. And that's a really good sign. I thought Big Tree and Trevon, Vershawn, you know, seeing a bunch of those guys play. I mean, we've seen them before. They look really good, but you know, there was a draft, and so you didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle. I actually thought Aaron Parks did some nice things in the game as well, the transfer from Oklahoma. So I think it's probably much more difficult for us to judge this group, and I want to be very fair in doing so. So what are your thoughts on those guys, either individually or collectively, or however you want to word it, and how they performed on Saturday?
It's hard to say because the whole quarterback not being able to get tackled thing really changes things. And when you can't get sacked, or, you know, you're not going to get a quick whistle from the referees, because the head coach, not just Shane Beamer, but any college football head coach who's running a spring game wants the offense to have a little bit of an advantage. It's in everyone's best interest for the offense to look halfway decent and not like, holy crap, this is terrible in a spring game. So I don't know. I'm a little bit to be determined on that, JB, because
with you,
the results are what they were. I mean, again, I have to go back and watch. And I don't know how many of those scrambles that Lenore's got, and there were a few. I don't know how many of those would have been legitimate scrambles if they were able to tackle him, or, you know, have, if they're chasing him down, dive at his legs as he's trying to get out of the pocket, whatever the case may be. Just a little bit to be determined on that. But like I've said before, can't get much worse than it was last year for the offensive line. If they're healthy, it definitely won't be as bad as it was, because a lot of those guys are a year older, or they're all a year older, but the younger guys especially tend to be a lot better than they were as freshmen. And they've got all these guys who transferred in, veteran guys who play along the interior, whether it's Torselli Simpkins, who I thought looked pretty good.
I agree. Yeah.
Kamar Bell, whoever they brought in, whether it's a freshman or a transfer, that's going to make that room better. Maybe not necessarily immediately for some of the freshmen, but by the time 12 games are played this fall, I think we're going to look at this offensive line group as one that's considerably better than the one last year. And that'll be pretty easy to say if they're healthy, because again, like, yeah, I know it wasn't good last year, but they were just so damn injured and it really affected things, and the results are what they were. But the injuries, I mean, you can't ignore that part of it. It was very significant leaving everything like it was, and resulted in how it did.
Yeah, I agree. And we had another injury this weekend with Marquis Anderson going down once again. So the injury bug might not actually be out of the system of the offensive line at South Carolina. Cason Henry had some good moments on Saturday, Hale, but he's a guy who has been plagued by that injury bug in years past, and so we'll have to keep our eyes on him moving forward, and certainly on Marquis, who had some lower back issues. You don't ever want to hear that when it comes to the offensive line, but we'll see. We'll see. We don't really know too much about it. And then finally, we'll finish with the running backs and then get you into recruiting, get you out of here. Really, I like the group, to be honest. I'm not so sure a whole lot else needs to be said. They look physical. They look tough. Oscar Attaway is – he's kind of an old school guy, right? He's a north to south. Like, I'm going to get you some yards when you give me the ball. Mm-hmm. The Howell kid, Jawarn Howell, big physical back. You feel like the more he gets hit, the better he's going to be. At least that's how I felt. We didn't even get to see Rocket. And I thought DJ Braswell probably had the best runs of the entire day. He brings a little bit of a different gear. Those are my thoughts. What are yours?
Yeah, I'm with you on Braswell for sure. He impressed me. We saw a lot last year. He would try to bounce things outside and wouldn't really trust what he was seeing, which can kind of be expected for a freshman running back. Sometimes those things are going to happen, and he looked much more confident in hitting the hole and made some nice runs, had some nice gains. I mean, that looked like a guy who's taken some tremendous strides from year one to year two. So then we didn't even see Rocket Sanders on the field. He's just hanging out wearing his jersey and shorts, talking to David Sanders and his dad pregame. And
probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, we all know that, yeah, and we all know what that guy can do if he's healthy and in good shape in an SEC football game. So I think that this running back group is going to be really fine. And I hate to say this, and people are probably going to get mad at me if they hadn't thought it already, and I'm sure plenty of people have, is if you could just put a little bit of that depth from the defense that they have right now up front, put it on the 2023 defense and get some of those running backs from the current team on that 2023 roster. Been a pretty good team last year. Probably would have won a few more games, but that's not how it went. So, but yeah, that running back group is pretty good. And everybody knows it starts with Rocket, but they got some pretty nice pieces in addition to him as well.
I'm 100%. I mean, it certainly, I think, will depend on his full health, and Shane Beamer does expect him fully healthy, I believe, by the beginning of June. They've got four pretty good looks and some depth there to be able to run the football this fall. Again, I like all of them. I think they all bring something a little bit different to the table, and that position group should be pretty good. I know this. I don't think this is a big, bold statement. If they want to have any success at all on offense, they will have to run the football this fall, because right, Spencer Rattler ain't running out of the locker room. So they're going to have to run it, and that's how they're going to have to at least initially begin to win games. I had a couple little birdies that I was able to spend some time with this weekend who are, I'd say, pretty good sources on this stuff, and I think Sean Elliott is going to be more valuable than people think he is moving forward with this offense. So excited to see all of it come together under Dow Loggins and Coach Elliott and Coach Beamer's leadership. All right, to the recruiting stuff, Hale. Made some waves last night as you put out a pin on a top 20 prospect in college football. Give us the latest on Jared Smith. Who is he, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, the defensive end from Alabaster, Alabama, who's been on campus, I don't know, at least three times, maybe four, maybe more than that. He was at the spring game, and South Carolina's in great shape for him. They were in really good spot for him coming into the weekend. He's got official visits lined up to Georgia, Tennessee, and the other USC out west in June after he takes the South Carolina one. And I've been told that the feeling is that he's going to take all those official visits. But South Carolina is still in a good spot. So if they can survive those potentially, then they could have another really talented defensive end on board. which would be a good development because there was a stretch there where they struggled, not necessarily this staff as it's built right now, but there was a stretch where the South Carolina football program wasn't bringing in many super talented defensive ends. And that's been the norm around here for quite some time, going back 15, 20 years or so. Like, we've seen a lot of these guys come through the program, and I think they're kind of starting to get back to that. Whether it was the class with Desmond Umezolu and Monique Rames before he was kicked off the team, then obviously Dylan Stewart coming in with this current freshman class. I think if you can stack a third group, or at least another guy in three consecutive cycles, you're building something pretty good at a very premium position that, outside of quarterback, is arguably the most important on your team. So I think that would be a fantastic get for South Carolina if they're able to get across the finish line and get him committed, get him signed and all that. And he won't be the only one. They're not just trying to get one and call it a day. They want to get a few. They've already got Anthony Addison on board.
Yeah.
Who's an in-state guy from Sumter. But yeah, Smith is more of that 6'5", long-armed type of guy. All those measurables that most people think are really important to playing defensive end, and things that this staff has prioritized. He checks all those boxes. So that would be quite the get for Carolina.
Helmer Granahan, a few minutes left with him from the BigSpur.com. If they do land that fish, he'll join a pond that now has a couple of pretty talented defensive prospects who did commit this weekend during big Gamecock weekend. One is Caleb Williams, a defensive lineman out of Chesterfield, Virginia. He's 6'5 and a half, 250-pound, four-star prospect who was a Sunday commitment publicly. And Shamari Earls, the corner out of Chester, Virginia, a national 115th ranked prospect who was a Saturday commitment. He's a big corner, 6'2", 180 pounds. Give us some inside details on these guys. Caleb Williams seems like the body for an end, but my understanding is that he's maybe more of a tackle. Is that true?
Yes, he's viewed as more of a tackle, but if we're talking 3-3-5, 4-2-5, there's probably going to be some occasions where a guy like him is going to be asked to play on the end and in the 3-3-5, kind of like we've seen with Tonka.
Sure.
Granted, he's a little taller and probably going to be more physically imposing just looking at him than Tonka. But that's sort of what we're talking about here. Guy who can play inside, kick outside, depending on what you're trying to do. So I think he's up over 6'6" now. He's a tall guy, right near 260. You look at him and you're like, well, he doesn't look 260 pounds. He looks a little lower than that weight wise. But he carries that weight very well, and kind of going back to what you're saying a little while ago, JB, about Josiah Thompson and how he could carry his weight. I think somebody like Caleb Williams is very similar to that point you were making. So, he's tall, long arms, really athletic, great flexibility. I mean, his highlights are a little tough to watch if anybody's looked at him that's listening to us. They look like they were filmed in like the 1970s or something, just for whatever reason, however their camera operator shot them. It makes it a challenging watch, but he moves well. He, like I said, he's super flexible. He bends, he gets low to the ground, like when he's making plays. And granted, he's maybe not necessarily playing some of the best competition, but if you look at, again, the height, arm length, how he moves and bends and all that's really, 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 really intriguing. And to me, sort of reminds me of of a guy like Eric Armstead, plays for the 49ers, played at Oregon. Who's a really tall defensive tackle who can slide outside to the end depending on what you're asking your defense to do. So I think that might be my sort of loose comp for Caleb Williams. It's Eric Armstead, a tall guy with long arms who can play inside and maybe do a little bit outside if you need him to.
2 weeks ago today, South Carolina received a commitment from wide receiver Brian Rowe. And he was the first of a run of six that have committed to the Gamecocks that we're aware of. One is not public yet, but will be soon. Anything else on the recruiting front, Hale, that we should have our eyes on over the next few days?
You know, Kendall Daniels was supposed to announce a commitment on Sunday to somewhere. Haven't gotten any word about what's up there, but I think things are in good shape with him. You know, they did have a ton of guys in on Saturday for the spring game, as folks know, if they pay attention to it and reading the Big Spur. So I don't know that necessarily anything else is imminent from a commitment standpoint, but I think they've probably been able to ease some of the angst and consternation that was going on out there amongst some folks, and are, I think, in a good spot now as they try to get geared up for the end of spring from a recruiting standpoint and get into the summer. I guess to answer your question, though, JB, the thing folks should just keep an eye on, in addition to portal and what they're doing at receiver recruiting within the portal, is that the coaches will be able to get back out on the road here. I'm not sure if they're going out this week or next week. It might be next week. I have to double check, but coaches will be able to get back out on the road, or they're able to get back out on the road and go visit with prospects off campus, see them at their school. They can talk to the guys who are juniors and meet with them and all that stuff. So it's an important stretch, and not just one of those where we're saying, hey, let's fast forward and get to June for these official visits. There's some groundwork that can be done right now and important steps to take in this process.
Real quick, too, for those, Kendall Daniels, another one out of Virginia, out of Norfolk, Virginia, four-star safety, keeping our eyes on that. I know we got to go, but the portal period ends next Tuesday, right? The spring portal period? Doesn't it close on April 30th?
The 30th is the last day. So, guys,
that's the last day to enter the portal, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So, guys don't have to make a decision by then. They can make a decision really take as long as they want to. But that's the last day for guys to declare and actually enter before it closes up and doesn't open up again until December or whenever it is.
Okay. So if Carolina is going to attack a receiver, whoever's in that portal by next Tuesday, it's going to be one of those names if they're going to sign somebody.
Or unless it's a guy who's doing it as a graduate transfer, then those guys can enter whenever they want. But yeah, for underclassmen or non-graduates, I should say, it closes next Tuesday is the final day they can jump in.
As always, Hale, great stuff. I know we covered a lot of ground today, but rightfully so, with the spring game wrapping up spring practice for South Carolina football. I'm quite sure that over the next few days, y'all will have plenty between you and John and Alex and JC to kind of recap what the last month plus has been like for Shane Beamer and his team as they get into the summer and then get into the fall for 2024 Carolina football. Great to see you yesterday, and glad you at least shot under par, if that matters.
Yeah, somebody wanted to know my handicap. The best round I've ever played in golf, I shot an 88 at the Country Club of Lexington. Very proud of that 88. I usually
should be
hang out in the 90s. So yeah, like I said, I'm not.
That's a great round, dude.
I love playing golf, but I'm not any good at it. There are things out there in this life that you don't have to be good at to enjoy, and golf is certainly one of them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Or in Phil's case, talking on the radio.
Yeah. Some things just happen the way they do, and we don't know why.
Hey,
If you do want to improve your golf score, you know where to go, Hale.
That's right, Meredith Taylor.
Yeah, no, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, an 88 is a great score. I'm with you on that. All right, Em. Hale, we'll let you run, brother. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all. Be good.
There you go. Hale McGranahan, Brad Crawford, Mike Morgan up next here on ITG.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet, the best selection of new Chevys, the lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.